This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum of Commodities, taking a look at wheat for Wednesday, June 19th. Wheat markets yesterday under some pressure as it looks like we are confirming our highs. And in fact, in Kansas City, those highs were put in early June. In Chicago, we put in those highs on Monday. And it looks like that gap higher with the rest of the grain complex and then inability to hold those gaps, that led to some more pressure yesterday, and it's leading to more actually this morning as well. But harvest is ongoing in wheat. We are progressing. We're pushing up into southern Kansas, and it looks like the quality is starting to take a little bit more of a hit as we get into Kansas. We're kind of expecting that anyway because that's where most of the rains were. There was a lot of rain from Texas all the way up to, you know, the Central Plains, but the heart of it really was south central Kansas and southeast. So that's where the combines are now. That's usually their best yielding areas. Yields aren't too bad, but the quality is certainly even less than what we've been seeing in the southern plains, which hasn't been all that great. Protein is the biggest hit. We're running about a full point below average. So we're running about 10.5% pros from Texas all the way up into Kansas. Test weights have been hanging in there in the 59s, which is pretty good, really, considering all the rain. But as we're moving into Kansas, we're seeing the protein even be a little bit less. Test weights are dropping as well. So much of that wheat, of course, we had a lot of rain on mature wheat. We're actually getting more rain on mature wheat, so we would kind of be bracing to see some sprout damage as well. But by and large, the trade is factoring in some significant amounts of wheat going to feed. Now, that said, we're cutting a big crop as well. So that's really kind of the crux of it, is that we're cutting big yields, a lot of record yields being reported. And that started in Texas as well. So we're going to have a lot of wheat around, a lot of feed wheat available, which is certainly taking some of the support away from a very strong corn market. But in wheat, it's just cheaper because you're right there, you're right next to the feedlots, the major feedlot feeding area anyway. And corn is expensive, not only just flat price, but also transportation. Much of the river barge traffic is shut down. Rail transportation is difficult too. So that's just making it all that much more difficult to get corn into the southern and central plains. So wheat is an easy fix for that. And we're this year we happen to have a lot of it and a lot of low quality. So that's the natural fit for it. Kansas City front month futures are only 8 cents premium to corn. That's just, it's so rare that you see Kansas City even be discounted to Chicago, which it is by, 65, 66 cents. And now we've got KC just continuing to lose to corn. And that's just the futures. In the cash, where you're seeing more discounted basis for the low pros, you're below corn. And that's pulling, just pulling a lot of wheat into the feed channel. So, that's the story of the wheat complex. You have a huge hard red winter wheat crop coming despite plantings being at 100-year lows. It's really remarkable that, and a lot of those plantings were in late last year because of rain. So it's really never dried out there. They had a cool spring, and that probably helped the crop because it's been so wet. At least the crop wasn't maturing ahead of schedule. But the bottom line is you're cutting a big hard red winter wheat crop, and it's going to stay big all the way up into Montana, where we're looking at some pretty impressive production potential there as well. In soft red, however, it's a much different story. You had lower plantings there too, but the very wet spring and cool days really initially started out with disease problems were pretty widespread, and then as it turned warmer, it got even worse. So, soft red, you're looking at a big drop in quality there, and it's difficult to move that into the feed channel because I think it's going to be pretty high in vomitoxin. So they're going to have to store it, using up valuable storage space for that. That said, you're going to see a much smaller corn crop, so maybe your storage space will be adequate considering the massive drop in production of corn that you're going to see. So this is all, there's a lot of balls up in the air for this grain complex, and we don't really have a handle yet on corn plantings. And frankly, we won't until mid-August at the earliest when we get the FSA insurance, crop insurance data in. So we have a plannings report at the end of June, but I don't think it's going to even remotely tell the story of what's actually happening out there. A great deal of the corn got in very late, past the prevent plant dates, and a lot of that was mudded in. Much of the corn that was in early had to be replanted. So it's just a disaster out there, and we don't know. We don't know what the acres are that are planted. We don't know the condition yet. Condition reports have just started. They're not fantastic. They're okay, but we expect that we'll probably see some chipping away at those values as the season goes on. Now, that said, you got all these corn planting and soybean planting problems and everything that goes with it. But then in the western Midwest, which was slow to start, which was where your initial water problems developed, eastern Nebraska, South Dakota, western Iowa, where you had all that massive flooding across much of Nebraska, that has since kind of dried down. And in fact, they were actually trending a little too dry, if you can believe that. So they're going to get more rains, as is the eastern Midwest. But that western Midwest, you could be looking at record yields there because of much better growing conditions. And that's really kind of the heart of corn country, is Iowa, eastern Nebraska, South Dakota, southern Minnesota. So it's very possible you'll see big yields coming out of there. So you toss all this information up and you struggle to find a production number. And we're going to do that really until harvest, until we just get a much better look at things. Until we get the FSA data, then we'll have the weekly crop condition reports that will give us a much, much better idea of what our production will be. But, that's as you're getting into pollination for corn, which, by the way, is going to be very late this year. You're going to be looking at pollination in the eastern Midwest in August rather than mid-July. And who knows? This I think corn, with all the rally that it's had, well over a dollar, looks to be ready to back off a little bit, but I don't think it's going to back off much. And I think ultimately, as you get into later in the summer, you could easily have another leg up in the corn complex, just simply because of all the issues that are developing now are going to continue to be a problem throughout the growing season. But how that relates to wheat is, wheat is a substitute for corn in the feed grain market and ethanol to some degree, potentially. But the U.S. wheat market has completely priced itself out of the world market. And that's really the bottom line for wheat. We have a lot of wheat around. We had big carryover, big production this year. A lot of it will go to feed. So yes, quality wheat will, work its way through, to the mills, through the basis in the cash trade. But when it comes to competing in the export market, which obviously we still need to do, that becomes a much different story. And we'll get a good look at that this morning with Egypt as they put out another tender yesterday afternoon. Now, they bought wheat last week, 60,000 from Russia, 60 from Romania, at prices around 209. This morning, we're seeing the lowest offers out of Russia at 197. It's a pretty big drop in just a week. But U.S. futures have pulled back. World cash prices have pulled back as well. And, we're getting closer and closer to harvest. In fact, harvest has begun in southern Russia. But we're probably 3 weeks away from really getting into the full swing of harvest across the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. And Europe is looking at a big crop. The Black Sea is looking at a good crop, not a huge crop, as they were here about a month ago. The dryness that had really plagued the southern Volga region is spreading into southern Russia, eastern Ukraine, and even into some of the Eastern European countries. So that's going to shave some of the top end off of Black Sea production potential. But by and large, they had very good start to the growing season. Lots of subsoil moisture to draw on, and that's going to carry this crop through to the end. So we're still going to be looking at big production coming out of the Black Sea and intense competition, not necessarily with the U.S., but with Europe. And they're going to be going head-to-head here throughout the marketing year. In the United States, we've basically priced ourselves out of the market. We've got some captive buyers, but by and large, it's going to be a tough stretch for us as we look at the world wheat prices far discount to U.S. prices. And yet, our prices will remain probably relatively elevated because of high corn prices. So it puts us in a bit of a dilemma. A lot of that will be factored out through the cash markets, big discounts for the low quality and nice premiums for the high quality. As you get into the northern plains, we should see some good quality hard red winter wheat unless it get a lot of rain at harvest, but that will help a lot in blending off the wheat, and they'll probably pull a lot of that south. But by and large, you know, the bottom line with wheat is that I think you've found your seasonal highs, and you're going to work your way lower. My guess is you'll work your way lower into the harvest, and usually as you get into central Kansas, northern Kansas, that's when you're establishing your seasonal lows. Normally that's by mid to late June. This is probably going to stretch into around the 4th of July, and soft red shouldn't have that much impact on the market. You're not going to be able to deliver a lot of high volumetoxin wheat, so we expect that a lot of that will just go into storage. Once we get past that, you know, as you get into mid to, you know, around mid-July, now you're looking at pollination starting for corn, at least in the western Midwest. So that's going to probably remain, you know, keep some elevation to the corn market. And again, like I said earlier, I think corn has another leg up in it later into the summer, but that would be past the wheat harvest and could easily pull wheat higher into the fall, which is a normal pattern for wheat anyway. Spring wheat might have trouble, especially if the rains come and give a nice soaking to the Canadian prairies. That will stave off, you know, further drought damage. Northern plains look like they could be set up for a big spring wheat crop as well. But the winter wheats, I think, will follow corn pretty easily. And so that's what we're looking for. Probably more pressure in the wheat complex in the near term, 2-3 more weeks. And then as you get through the bulk of harvest, then I think you're still going to have the drag of the northern hemisphere harvest. But if corn takes off to the upside, wheat will follow with it. And I think give us some prime opportunities to sell old crop, which is what we're cutting now, to start selling it to new crop, which would be next year's crop. That if that happens in corn and pulls wheat higher into the fall, which I expect would probably be around the August time frame, that would be a great opportunity to get a lot of pricing done on the books. Because the bottom line with wheat is you got big world production coming. Australia looks much better than it has the last 3 years. Argentina looks excellent. So they're planning into some pretty nice conditions. And I would expect the southern hemisphere to have a fairly decent sized crop. And then again, as you get into next year. So the northern hemisphere next year is, you know, who knows. But the market's not going to run out of wheat worldwide. We're not going to run out of feed grain. So we got to take advantage of these rallies when we get them and look for that August time window. And maybe later, if corn just continues to run into problems, you could see corn rally into harvest. And that would certainly pull wheat higher too. So we'll watch that, obviously. But I guess the focus on, you know, the front, right in front of us, I would expect to see some more harvest pressure, but after that, if the corn market starts to run, wheat will come up with it. But wheat has its limitations because of ample world production, and that's what we have to keep in mind. And I think that's why I've been thinking that wheat would just settle into a trading range, which frankly is a pretty wide range. You know, the highs that we've just established and the lows that were established in May, I think will be the boundaries of this trading range, which is quite wide. You know, it's over a dollar in Kansas City, and it's well over a dollar in Chicago. So that's plenty of potential there for the market to move back and forth for probably the next year, really, until we get a look at next year's crop. So if you have any questions, feel free to call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.